Our guest tonight is Maurice Cotterell, Future Science, Forbidden Science of the 21st Century. And it is just a fantastic book, and I totally recommend it to you. And it will make a nice addition to your library. And we are, don't want to wax crude here, but I'm putting my waders on because I predict it's going to get deep. We will talk about, I want to ask him about Satan, Angel of Light, Key Force. And I want to know if the use of the word voltage in our talk tonight is literal or metaphorical. And then we will explore the various schools of astrology. We have Western astrology, Chinese astrology, Vedic astrology. And Maurice Cotterell has an explanation for this. We look forward to hearing it. Please stand by. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Maurice Cotterell, would you amplify a little bit on, didn't the Dark One, Satan, refer to himself as the Angel of Light? And what's up with that? How does that fit into your studies?
Well, if we go back to earlier, what I said was that everything on the right-hand side, which is mass, the right-hand side of Einstein's equation, is the devil. So what that means is that the human body and the trees and the stars and the carpets and the microphones, everything in the physical world is the devil or Satan. Living things also have God inside them. So a human being has a body, which is the devil, and a soul inside, which is God. So we're 50% God, 50% devil. So good ideas come from God, bad ideas come from the body. And most people appreciate that when we leave home every morning and close the door behind us, we enter a battlefield in hell. But few appreciate that the battle continues to rage within each and every one of us, every moment of our lives, no matter where we are. So this is hell. We're all living in hell. And the idea is to escape. I mean, for many years, for many years, I thought it was the right thing to do to make the world a better place. And everything I did was towards that aim, to try to make a world a better place for everybody to live in. But once I realized that this world was hell, then it seemed to me that if I made the world better, I was just creating a better hell. So it was not the right thing to do. Clearly, if you're in a prison camp, hell, then what you need to do is escape. And this is another reason why the knowledge is secret, because if everybody tries to escape at the same time, then we all get rounded up and caught and brought back to prison again. But if you keep it secret and don't tell anybody when you plan to leave, then you can dig the tunnel on your own, leave the tunnel, and nobody will miss you for quite some time. So this is how the Freemasons are operating. They don't want you to know the knowledge they know, because if everybody tries to escape, God will stop growing. And the whole purpose of existence is to accommodate God growth, to allow the love in the universe to increase continually. So that's the reason why, as I say, the body is the devil. The soul inside is God, and we have to recognize that we have a choice between accepting ideas from the body, the five senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, and the touch, or to accept ideas that come from God into our electromagnetic energy bank, our soul, if you like. So all of the knowledge in my book, for example, although I say my book, it's not my book because I didn't write it. It comes through me into the world. It's God's work. I don't believe any human being could set down what is set down in the book. And you may agree with that. It's not the sort of thing that you can deduce. It's like, the way I look at it, it's like having a computer on your desk and the more power you put into your computer and the more processing power and the more memory, the more able your computer is to try to figure out who made the computer. And every day, as you add power and memory, the computer would think to itself and it would say something like, I don't know who made me or what made me, but whatever it is must have 10 fingers, because every day something tickles me with 10 fingers. And every day the computer will build up a picture of whoever created it. It will say, whoever created me must have ears because I'm sending signals to loudspeakers. Therefore, somebody must be listening to it. And again, we accept we are like computers. We were trying to figure out what God is, and we're just like the computer on our desk. We say, well, whatever God is, he must be like this, or whatever God is, he must be like that. What few people realize is that God is in every single one of us. We are all God. We are all the same energy. And when we die, some of us will go back to God this time. Some of us will reincarnate. But eventually we'll all go to God after billions and billions of years. The ancients believed that there were three transitory states, if you like. One was the God world, where God lives. One was the soul world, which is divided up into purgatory and hell. And it's a bit like a factory, where purgatory is like the reception to hell, and hell itself is the factory itself. And if we are planet Earth, we can live on planet Earth in this incarnation. And this is like the reception. This is purgatory, where our sins are purged. Now, I know this because all of the decoded pictures that the Mayas left behind, and the Egyptians, and the Incas, and the Celtic people, and the ancient Chinese, all of these people that worshipped the sun thousands of years ago, they left all of this knowledge behind. All I had to do was decode it. Once I decoded it, I could see what the messages were trying to convey. All we have to do is get the energy, purify our soul, and go to heaven. There's nothing difficult about it once we understand that.
Now, when you speak about a couple of things, this is really excellent stuff. The voltage that you refer to, is this literal or metaphorical voltage?
Oh, it's actually a literal voltage. The voltage itself is electromagnetic energy.
Okay, gotcha.
And we know that because in the Bible it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Light is electromagnetic energy. That's how we describe it. And as I say in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, God is light. It's quite specific. And in the Dhammapada of the Buddhist, it says Buddha was the enlightened one. And the same with Krishna. In 1998, I wrote a book called The Super Gods. And it was difficult for me to come to terms with how, for example, these ancient civilizations acquired the knowledge they did. Where did it come from? Clearly, lots of civilizations have existed before, and I'm not just referring to the common or the modern ones that we know of, like Atlantis and Lemuria. Lemuria goes back around 25,000 years. But I'm going back millions and millions of years. There's been lots of civilizations, and every time a civilization acquires this knowledge of what we are, what heaven is, what hell is, what it's all about, what this game is that we're playing in, how astrology works, then they set the knowledge down in their treasures. And it's not for us to actually find, to figure things out in thousands of years to come. It's for themselves to find and figure out if they don't make it to heaven on that occasion. In other words, 5,000 years ago, if the Egyptians encoded information into their pyramids, it wasn't encoded for me today. It was encoded for themselves if they came back, because they know they would come back if they didn't make it to heaven, that they could start where they left off from, with the pyramid knowledge wrapped up in the pyramids, and not start at the beginning again. It's like Schubert writing his unfinished symphony on a piano, so piano lid, so that when he comes back, he can look at all the piano in the world. Sooner or later, he'll find his unfinished symphony, and he can finish it off. It's unfinished work, if you like. And what we find is with the ancient civilizations is that there are lots of rules to the reincarnation process, and one of them seems to be that we come back to the same DNA. So clearly, if you've got no DNA, there's less chance of you coming back. But this is why priests and clerics don't have children, because that's why they're celibate, and why nuns are celibate. If they don't have kids, there's less chance they'll come back. If they've been bad, they'll come back as a cat or a dog or a worm, of course. But if they've been good, then they won't come back at all. They're guaranteed to get to heaven. So these mechanisms of the soul world are many and various. For example, and they're all, there's clues to them all in the world around us. For example, when I was writing The Lost Tomb of Rokocha, I realized that there was a mechanism of soul shatter, And soul shatter occurs when a soul is very distressed. It's like a nervous breakdown, but it happens to the soul. And it's like throwing a brick through a car windscreen. Instead of the windscreen being one volt in one piece, when you throw the brick into the windscreen, it shatters into a million pieces. So each piece is one millionth of a volt. So when your soul shatters like that, it goes to the soul world in a million pieces, and when it reincarnates, it needs to find 1 million creatures of 1 millionth of a volt each. So it comes back as a swarm of mosquitoes, or, you know, it comes back in a way that is commensurate with the voltage of the soul. And this is why you look at birds. Birds all fly in flocks because of the same soul that suffered from soul shatter in the previous incarnation. If you look at cows in a field, they all eat and point in the same direction because, you know, some people have said that this is morphic resonance. That's a term some people use. It's the soul. It's the same soul. They were all one soul once upon a time, and that's why they herd together, the herding instinct. They want to be one soul again, so they aggregate and they stay together and they think as one. And again, there are lots of mechanisms in regarding the light of the soul and the inverse transmigration of the soul, and Tutankhamun mentions this in his treasures. Basically, it says that black people come as white people, and white people come back as black people. Fat people come back as thin people. Thin people come back as fat people. Tall people become short. Short people become tall. And so eventually we find all of the different states of being we experience, and we suffer in different states of being as we come back. So if we're unkind in one incarnation, in the next incarnation, we get it all back again. This is the notion of karma. The Christians call it original sin, Adam and Eve, if you like. But it's actually karmic. It's the negativity that we've generated from a previous incarnation. And this... the Tibetans referred to the godly energy as qi. And Mary was pregnant with Jesus, the angel came down in the stable and said, you will give birth to a boy and his name shall be Jesus. Now, qi is the godly energy, and Zeus, or Zeus, was the highest of gods for the Greek pantheon, which was popular in the Mediterranean during the time of Christ when the Romans had taken over Israel. So what we have is Jesus is the Son of God. And the same thing happens when we look back at all the religious leaders that I mentioned in the Super Gods in 1998. In our cosmic age, it begins with Krishna about 5,000 years ago. And Krishna is the anointed one. It's the Christos or the Christ. And he died and he brought this knowledge to Earth. He brought the knowledge of astrology. He brought the knowledge of God and reincarnation to Earth. And then when Krishna died, he reincarnated many times. One of his incarnations was Buddha. And Buddha, the name of Buddha's mother was called Maya. And Maya, of course, means illusion. And there was a race of Indians in Mexico in the 8th century called the Maya, led by Lord Peikau. And he again left the knowledge behind when he came. So the question of how did this knowledge propagate throughout the generations from time immemorial, you know, we could say, well... the ancients wrote it down and decoded it, or the ancients, in order to explain how the knowledge was carried forward, we could say, for example, it came from Atlantis or Lemuria, but it actually didn't, in my view, come from Atlantis or Lemuria. It came from these super gods, these super beings, these religious beings, Krishna 5,000 years ago, Tutankhamun 1,500 BC, Tutankhamun, the son of God, Buddha, Jesus, Lord Peik, the Viracochas of South America, who lived in AD 300 and AD 500. These are the same spiritual being who keeps coming back to Earth, bringing this knowledge of astrology, astronomy, God, who we are, what we are, what we're doing here. And one of the questions, of course, is given that we can never travel faster than light, and I explain this in the book, Einstein says we can't travel faster than the speed of light because of constraints in his theory of relativity. However, it's got nothing to do with relativity because relativity is nonsense anyway. The fact is, elements bond together through gravitational bonding. In other words, there are three types of bonding that we know of. There's covalent bonding that we all learned about at school. There's ionic bonding, where two different charged elements come together. And there's gravity bonding, which works through hydrogen bonding. So what that means is that gravity waves travel at the speed of light, and they also bind us together. The gravity waves coming off hydrogen in the blood bind the body together. So if we go faster than the speed of light, we go faster than the gravity waves holding us together. So when we travel faster than the speed of light, we disintegrate because the bonding between elements fails. No other reason. It's very simple. So then this raises the question, why did God invent the stars? If we can never get to the stars, which we never can, then why did he invent the stars and all of the other galaxies? Because the soul can travel at the speed of light. So when the soul leaves the body, we can reincarnate on different galaxies and in different planets. And that's the difference between the body and the soul. The ability of the soul to travel, to find everlasting life as light in our natural state of electromagnetic energy, instead of being entombed in this body, which we are for 70 years and longer if we don't love our neighbor. Because Jesus summed all this up by saying, look, if you want to go to heaven, love God, love your neighbor, problem solved. He didn't have to explain all this in detail about the atoms, because clearly 2,000 years ago they wouldn't have understood anyway. It's only now, in the 20th and 21st century, now that we've got color photocopiers, I was able to decode these messages that they'd left behind. And it's only now, when our technology reaches this level of sophistication — it's still very primitive, of course, because all the physicists don't even understand why things drop to the floor, why they fall to the ground. But for those enlightened ones among us, we will embrace this knowledge. Have a look at the book. It explains, have a look at all these secret pictures, the pictures in the book. And I'm sure you can verify this, John. Pictures of God are in the book. Pictures of Jesus are in the book. These are pictures they left behind, encoded in their treasures. These people were super intelligent beings, and they came to teach us about God and what heaven is. There's much more to life than we see around us in this physical world. This physical world is purgatory. It can get worse. We can go to the sun when we die, and that's hellfire. You know, if we don't purge our hearts in purgatory while we're on earth, then we can either go to the sun, where it's very warm, as you can appreciate, or we can stay in purgatory for 3,740 years until the sun's magnetic field changes and releases us, and then we can live again in another lifetime, in a different incarnation.
This is absolutely amazing. And I must tell you that I don't consider myself one who is easily amused. But what you are saying here makes so much more sense to me than someone who says, well, we've discovered a pyramid or a spaceship, but we have absolutely no evidence that anyone actually built it. It seems to have appeared spontaneously. I wait for the answer and the justification, or the validation, which is much farther away than the justification of this argument, and I don't find any. But you have answered a very valuable question for me personally, and perhaps some others.
And these super gods are the miracle makers. We call them miracles because we can't understand how they did what they did and when they did it, because we're primitive. But once you get your head around how intelligent these beings are, you realize how insignificant we are and how insignificant everything is. Because the intelligence is just so, so far ahead. It's just, I remember many years ago, it was 1994, nearly 20 years ago.
I do not want to interrupt your story. Maurice, sure. I do not want to interrupt your story, and we're going to be forced to by one of those dreadful computers you were referring to earlier. But to answer anyone's question, why all the beauty? Why all the wonder? Why all the heinous acts and the violence? Where the hell are we? Oh, that's it. We're in hell. Well, we'll find our way out, won't we? Somehow, on Coast to Coast AM and elsewhere. Our guest tonight is Maurice Cotterell. His excellent work, which came out last year, actually, is Future Science, Forbidden Science of the 21st Century, and it's a very interesting discourse we're having tonight. I hope you are enjoying it. And there are many questions that come into the mind of the average, well, person, human, being, as we walk through our lives. Questions like, why is there so much suffering? What about the young ones who die early? Why is it that anything from a banana peel to a piece of space junk landing on your tinfoil hat can take you out? And if those who wrote the scripture are so illiterate, then why is absolutely everything in there, such as your days are numbered like the hairs on your head? Things like, ask the beasts and they will teach you, the birds of the air and they will tell you, or the plants of the earth they will teach you, and the fish of the sea will declare to you. Where does all this stuff come from? I mean, that's pretty heady stuff for a bunch of illiterates, don't you think? Let's just depart from that for a moment. I invite you to become a Coast Insider, because when you get people like Maurice Cotterell on here, you might want to go back and listen to it again, particularly if you have to get up tomorrow. Of course, we'd be delighted if you would stay with us until the wee hours of the morning. But if you cannot do this, if you are a Coast Insider, you have 3 years of archive shows to listen to. That's over 1,000 of them, and it's cheap. Did I mention that it's cheap? So think it over, and hopefully you will do that. We will return with Maurice Cotterell after a very, very short break. Make yourself a cup of tea and stand by. This is Coast to Coast AM. John Vian with you for the night. And Maurice Cotterell, you were going to tell us a story that went back to 1994.
Oh, yes. I went to have a clairvoyant reading. And she said to me, this lady was quite incredible. I mean, she said, you're going to write lots and lots of books. I can see a man standing behind you who's thousands of years old. He's there to guide you. He wants you to decode ancient manuscripts. And she even started drawing pictures with her hands of some of the treasures that I'd already decoded. So I know she was, what she was saying was absolutely correct. And I couldn't understand how clairvoyance works. And I suppose, you know, one has to ask the question, is she, as she claims, picking up the ideas from the spirit guides who are all around us all the time, these old souls that are in a state of limbo? They didn't quite get to heaven and they didn't reincarnate. So there's no question that she was right. In fact, she helped me also make some further decoding, which I was having difficulty with. But just moving on to astrology, you know, one of the problems with, you know, and people, one of the most common questions people do raise is how can God be good when he allows earthquakes and things like that to happen, so-called bad things on Earth. But it's not bad once you get your head around it. I mean, the moon goes around the Earth, and the Earth goes around the sun, and we have to do this because these planets have to do this because we're alive. You know, we have day and night. We have the seasons. The body has to heal itself, otherwise it dies. So when God put all of the pieces together to make sure that the body heals itself, to make sure we have day and night so that we can get some rest, there was a few problems with the model. For example, when the Earth goes around the sun, the gravitational field changes depending where the Earth is, the strength of it. As the moon goes around the Earth, the pull on the Earth changes. And if that causes the tectonic plates to move around, which we call earthquakes. Now, if they didn't move around, if it was rigid, the Earth would just shatter and 6 billion people would be killed. So you have a choice now, if you're God. You have a choice of either killing 6 billion people and smashing the Earth to bits, or you can have an earthquake every year and lose 50,000. What would you rather have? Now, clearly, God wants the world and the universe to last forever. And another indicator of this is the fact that he created astrology, because one of the problems with human beings is that if we all agreed all the time, the world would end, because sooner or later, somebody on the Earth would say, they'd come up with an idea, and they'd say, I'm going to commit suicide. Well, if everybody agreed, then everybody on the Earth would commit suicide, and human nature would stop, and God would stop growing. So to stop this happening, God has to make us all argue all the time. And the only way he could make us argue all the time was to make sure that we were all astrologically different, that we were of 12 different signs of the zodiac. So when one person says, I'm going to commit suicide, other people say, well, you know, that's for you to decide. It's not for me to decide. I'm not going to commit suicide. So the human race continues. It doesn't end. So this is one of the mechanisms, like the healing, like the astronomy, and all the rest of it, to make sure that God's world is absolutely perfect. So although it seems we are in hell, and lots of bad things happen in hell, we are given an opportunity of escaping from this hell and becoming one with God again at the end of this life, or certainly in a few thousand years' time. And it's important to realize that every religion subscribes to reincarnation. You know, some Christians jump up and down and say, oh, no, we don't. We stopped believing in reincarnation in AD 200 and things like that. But it's not true. If you look at the precepts of Christianity, they advocate that there's a body and a soul. If we live a good life, the soul goes to heaven. If we don't, the soul goes to hell. What I've shown using Einstein's equation is that this life is hell. The earth is hell, which means that if the soul comes back to earth, if it reincarnates to hell, it comes back to earth. So even Christians, whether they like to believe it or not, believe in reincarnation, that the soul comes back to earth. But firstly, they've got to get their heads around the fact that Einstein's equation is correct. And if it were not correct, the atom bomb wouldn't explode. The atom bomb does explode. Einstein's equation does appear to be correct. A lot of his other work is not. But this explains why there is such injustice in the earth, because some people have led bad lives in their previous incarnations. And we have to suffer for it. We have to, suffering purifies the heart, because when we suffer, the brain and the heart go into battle. It's like a battlefield within it. The intellect and the heart fight it out. The intellect says, I'm suffering. Why am I suffering? And it squeezes the heart. And the heart is squeezed of impurity as a wet rag is squeezed of water. When the heart becomes emptied of impurity, it can then empty impurity from the soul. So an impure soul empties into an empty heart. But if the heart is full of impurity, the soul cannot enter empty into it. So we have this physical mechanism and a spiritual mechanism which accommodates soul, increasing soul voltage, which enables us to escape from this incarnation and go back to God the Creator. Which brings us back onto astrology, because we've now just entered the year of the dragon, the water dragon, which began on January the 23rd. And the Chinese understood this, how the sun affects human personality, going back to the first emperor of 2637, that's BC, before Christ, nearly 5,000 years ago. And the first emperor was called Huang Ti, and he was known as the Son of Heaven. So he could well have been one of these super gods that I've referred to previously. He could well have been a spiritual teacher who came down, because they said he was born through an immaculate conception. When he was born, a bright star was seen in the sky. When he lived, he performed miracles. And when he died, he went to heaven and became a dragon and lived forever. Which is a very similar story to all of the other super gods, whether it's Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, Viracocha, or Lord Paikal, or Tutankhamun. There's also a super god teacher of the Celtic people, and he was the king of Hochdorf, and he came from Germany about 500 BC. And this was in one of my previous books called The Celtic Chronicles, which describes the true story of the Holy Grail. And how the Grail found its way into the museum in Ireland. So all of these things are connected, and they're all connected through this window of astrology. Once we get into astrology, we start asking questions which lead us into knowledge in associated areas. And for those who are interested in how astrology works, well, there are two schools of astrology. Sun sign astrology, used in the West, recognizes that the sun causes 12 types of personality each year. Whereas Chinese astrology recognizes that the sun causes 12 types of personality every 12 years, a different one every year. Both believe that the sun's radiation and position of the planets affect our day-to-day biorhythms and behavior. Excuse me.
Uh-oh, thought I lost you for a second.
No, that's okay, John. Now, let's start with Sun Sign Western astrology. What we know is that from data from scientific instruments over the last 50 years, we now understand that our sun spins like a spinning top every 28 days. And as it spins, it gives off particles, positive particles and negative particles throughout the year. The particles collide with the Van Allen radiation belts which encircle the Earth. And this causes the magnetic field of the Earth to change. It modulates, it gets stronger and weaker with the bombardment of particles. Changes in magnetic fields cause genetic mutations to developing fetuses in the womb as the egg is fertilized by the sperm and the chromosomes begin to divide and the cells begin to divide. Then the genetic makeup of the person, the baby, changes, and we believe that personality is caused primarily by genetic mutations. We know this from studies on twins going back to the early 1920s. Johannes Lange, one of the early psychologists in Germany, did lots of experiments on twins. He concluded that personality must be genetically determined. We also know that 28-day magnetic cycles cause variations in the hormone melatonin, which regulates the 14-day it regulates the 14-day emotional biorhythm in humans. The 28-day changes in the production of the female fertility hormones, oestrogen and progesterone, are caused in the same way, which means that the 28 spinning sun regulates fertility in females on Earth. And this is why the Mayas, Egyptians, Peruvians, Celts, and Chinese worship the sun as the god of fertility and the god of astrology. And again, all of this is explained in future science. So where did they get the knowledge from? As I said earlier, we could imagine that they got it from Atlantis or Lemuria, but it actually came down the line through super gods that visited Earth, the religious teachers throughout the ages. Now, the Chinese astrological calendar, the 12-year calendar, is regarded as a solar lunar calendar, and this is because the new Chinese year starts two new moons away from the winter solstice, which occurs on December the 21st. So the winter solstice is a function of the sun. It's when the days are the shortest in the northern hemisphere because of our position around the sun. And the lunar connection is because the Chinese spring begins two new moons after December the 21st, which this year, the second new moon occurred on the 23rd of January. So that's when the year of the dragon began this year. And basically, the Chinese understood that the sunspot cycle radiation increases for 350 days and it decreases for 350 days. So they have a positive cycle and a negative cycle every 2 years approximately. But because it's not exact, these cycles come in and out of synchronization. And it takes 12 years and 60 years for them to get back together again. So right now, we begin the year of the water dragon. So it's a good year for those water dragons. But it's not a good year for other people because the dragon is a very tempestuous year. It changes. Just like the dragon goes backwards and forwards very quickly, the year of the dragon changes very rapidly. We can have we can have wars start very quickly. We have stock market crashes. And because it's the water dragon, we have lots of catastrophic events involving water, like tsunamis, floods and things like that. And as I say, this knowledge goes back to 2697 when the first emperor was 60 years old. So it actually began with his birth 60 years earlier. And the Chinese knew that if you understand the rules of life and if you understand how astrology works, if you understand the rules of the game, then life becomes a lot easier and simpler. Why make life difficult when we can make life easy? And once we understand which types we vibrate with, which astrological signs that we get on with or who don't bring the best out in us, then we can pick a team of people that will be successful with ourselves and avoid those who make the spirit uncomfortable within us, vexatious, if you like, and bring us too much pain. Even though pain purifies the soul, we are programmed to avoid pain. Otherwise, again, it's one of these mechanisms like earthquakes. If we didn't avoid pain, we'd all die, and that's not part of the grand plan. So we need pain, but in moderation, not too much because it would kill us, but just enough so that we survive, get back up on our feet, start walking again, and experience more of life to acquire wisdom and the knowledge to help us escape.
Understood. Let me ask you something. Let's just take a little side trip here. It seems that most of the, I mean, if you go into scripture, the constellations have been tracked, and the Bible has teaches that God arranged the stars into recognizable groups called constellations, Orion, the crooked serpent, most likely Draco. It's in Job. It's the thing, it seems like in the Old Testament, it's a forbidden practice, but it seems less so in the New Testament. Do you agree with this? In other words, Deuteronomy, Daniel, Isaiah, Kings, there are admonitions against it, but in Revelations, it's almost as though it's a revelation.
Yes, it is, John. And of course, Revelation was the last book to be written and included in the Bible. And the earlier stories were very cautious, insofar as a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And as I'm sure you appreciate, less sophisticated.
I appreciate it. I've lived it.
Yeah, of course. The problem is the knowledge in the wrong hands can be destructive. Now, you know, Freemasons believe in astrology, and they understand how astrology works. We understand, you and I, because we've read Future Science, how astrology works and why we have astrology. And it's very simple and straightforward. But in the wrong hands, people could start to send their adversaries to hell. And you can do this. There are various ways. I can reveal one way of example, of sending somebody to hell, for example. I could ask somebody to do God's work, and they could say no. People who do God's work go to heaven. People who say no go to hell. So that's one way. Now, I know what God's work is, so I can reveal that mechanism, because other people who might abuse this mechanism don't know what God's work is anyway, so they're never going to ask somebody to do it. But there are several ways that we can send other people to hell, and we don't want to do that because we bypass the purification mechanism. Now, in Revelation, they talk about they use numbers to communicate this ancient information, this ancient knowledge, like 666, the number of the beast. And what I show in my book is that the decoded stories can only work if the transparencies and the photographs of the ancient artifacts are rearranged in 6.66 degrees to each other, or 66.6 degrees to each other. In other words, these pictures in my book that have been decoded from the ancient civilizations correspond with the writings in Revelation. Now, if, for example, you take a triangle like a pyramid with three equal sides, we get 60 degrees, 60 degrees, 60 degrees, which is 666, which is the shape of the pyramid. Now, if you take the same opposite and turn it upside down, we get the Star of David. But now the 666 of the three corners becomes 999 because the triangle's upside down, if you use the numbers. And in Revelation it says, "He who has wisdom, let him count the number. It is the number of a man."
Excellent. Let's stop right there, Maurice. Hold your thought. I know you can, because we have to take a hard break. Maurice Cotterell is our guest tonight. Future Science, Forbidden Science of the 21st Century. That's his book on Coast to Coast AM. We shall return.